Yeah, you too. How's the renewable?
Yeah, but let's see if we're ready. Okay. Well, good afternoon. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-18-435, Savin Metals West Corporation Electric Service Agreement Amendment. It is 2:06 on Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. I am Commissioner Brian Crashes, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchek?
No opening comments from me either. Thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
Me either. Thanks.
Okay. This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of opportunity of hearing. The applicant does go first in this type of proceeding, but before starting, I would like our staff to introduce themselves and then company representatives for both firms. So,
Jerry Leon with advisory staff.
John Shue with staff.
Victor Shook with advocacy staff.
Patrick Fawn with advisory staff.
Tammy Eberle with Montana Dakota.
Carl Liebitz, MDU Resources.
Larry Oswald with Montana Dakota.
Jim Barrett with Savin Metal.
Okay, and
Jonathan Savin Metal Corp.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Jonathan. All right, it's all yours.
Well, good afternoon again. Carl Liebitz, thank you for this opportunity to consider the settlement agreement and contract amendment before you. So a little procedural history. Montana Dakota did submit an amendment number 2 to this particular contract to the electric service agreement with Savin Metals on December 28th, 2018. We subsequently filed a revised Exhibit A1 to that contract amendment on February 12th of 2019, just to correct basically a typo. This agreement goes back to 2000 and was initially amended in 2011, and now we're looking at the second amendment. On May 7th, we submitted a settlement agreement between the company and staff to basically address and accept that contract amendment with the conditions set forth in the settlement agreement. And there's been an opportunity for hearing, obviously. So today we're looking for approval of the settlement agreement, the contract amendment, and it would be Exhibit A1, the rate set forth on Exhibit A1, would look to go into effect upon approval from this commission. So with that, I will refer over to Mr. Oswald.
Thank you, Carl. Good afternoon, commissioners, again. The electric service that we provide for Savin Metals is actually at their Williston, North Dakota facility. This facility is dedicated to processing ceramic supported catalysts, primarily from the petroleum, petrochemical, and chemical industries. Their process includes 3 rotary kilns and 2 electric arc furnaces currently. And if there's additional questions, I'm sure Jim would kind of elaborate a little bit more on that. This facility is actually Savin purchased this facility back in 2000 from Dakota Catalyst. It was the previous owner of this facility, and that's about the time that we did the original agreement in 2000 with them when they were looking to locate in Williston, North Dakota. In 2018, Savin Metals consumed about 24 million kilowatt hours for the year. And their average monthly demand is about 4.5 megawatts, making them our 6th largest customer served by Montana Dakota on our integrated system.
I should know this, but are the ceramic supported catalysts or propans or
are they what?
What are they exactly used for? They're not propans, are they?
No, they're used in the hydrofracking for the refiners of the petroleum products.
Okay.
Larry?
Yes.
You know, in the previous discussion, you had said that company was the 2nd largest customer for MDU, the largest in North Dakota. Here you said the 6th. Was that for MDU overall or for North Dakota?
That was for MDU overall, 6th largest customer in the state. I'm not sure of the number, but definitely top 5.
Yeah.
Even I could have figured that one out.
No, I didn't want to go
out on a limb. And I'm going to assume it's the largest customer. So I'm following. We've got to narrow it down.
So, you know, we provide the agreement provides for a rate less than the otherwise applicable rate 30. Primarily for retention of the load at this location and continued load growth at that facility, which since we've executed that agreement, we have seen significant load growth over the term of the agreement, and it also does provide that offset to fixed costs again as well. Some of the terms that we agreed to in the amendment with Sabin Metals. Again, these rates are subject to that percentage change in large general service rate 30, up or down, which include all the components. It does provide a provision for any future riders that would be approved by this commission and does add all the existing riders to the agreement that weren't part of the original agreement. And that change of adding those future riders increases approximate increase in cost to Sabin Metals annually of about $323,000 a year, or 23% increase. The basic service charge underneath the existing agreement was $15, and we're proposing to move that to $100, which then is equal to what large general service rate 30 customers pay for a basic service charge. And we extended the term for an additional, for a five-year term of the agreement. The agreement was in a year-to-year status as well prior to that. The settlement terms with staff for the agreement was the cost of service study in our next general rate case. And then the rates as outlined in Exhibit A1 would be subject to modification based on the commission's review of the cost analysis. Okay. And I prepared remarks.
Staff? You, Commissioner?
So I'll just kind of go through similar as what I did in the last case. Again, what's important for us in this case is the cost of service study that will be done specific to this customer on the next rate case. Similar again to the other case, the increase is primarily to the riders. The riders were not previously included on the customer's bill. Their contribution to those riders will help reduce other customers' costs because the annual revenue requirement will stay the same on those riders. It will just have far larger kilowatt hours to spread those over. So we see this as positive movement in the right direction for covering their cost to serve.
When would that start taking effect, the rider stuff? Upon approval, then it would be, because we've already kind of set those for the year, right? I mean,
yep.
The rider.
So if I don't think we would reset the rider rates in the middle of the year, but the next, I'm sure there would be an over-collection balance.
Well, in fact, we included the loads in our riders because in anticipation of approval of the agreement. So they are running. We just don't have the revenues running there, but the revenues will all run through the riders. I can't speak. I know at least the transmission, we're not seeing significant under recoveries, but certainly the longer this goes, we would start getting into an under recovered position on those. So it'll start immediately. I mean, it's essentially happening today and in anticipation of this agreement being approved.
Okay, so you included their kilowatt hours or whatever in
we did right
calculation. They haven't paid anything yet because they're still under their own rate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We initially filed these as if we were filing them in compliance and plan to implement. And upon further discussion with staff, resubmitted under separate dockets. So that's why we did it. We weren't trying to be, it was really the assumption that we were going to submit these as compliance agreements and put those rates into effect.
I see. Okay. So how does this affect you guys?
Well, the increase is going to affect us as one of our top three expenses, and then a 23% increase on that is going to definitely affect us. And one of the reasons we chose North Dakota in the first place was because of the lower electric rates. We had the furnace. We were going to move it back to New York, but because of, at the time, the labor, the energy, and the facility, we decided to expand and start production here. Every time we do a project, obviously something we'll have to evaluate is where's the best place to locate it. Increasing these costs, I still do appreciate the discount to the rate 30, but obviously this is something we'll have to evaluate. We've commissioned a new kiln, and we're looking at a new arc furnace, but at this point we would have to again evaluate where those would go, because you're now pushing the rate to equal to or a little bit higher, depending on which one goes through, than the rates in New York. Mm-hmm. And we've already, with the oil boom, we've seen the increase in labor cost and the shortage of labor, and then the cost of transportation is another big thing for coming out to Williston, North Dakota, is not favorable.
Moving product from New York to...
No, it's actually the product that we're going to sample and refine. It comes from outside of that area, so it comes from Texas, it comes from the Middle East, it comes from Asia. Okay. Hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about your process, what you guys actually do, and then where it's used?
So we take the used catalyst, so they're using it in their petroleum processes.
You can't find enough of that here?
You probably won't find any. You need a refiner. It's not the actual crude that is generating the spent catalyst. It's the products that they make from it.
Okay. So Tesoro would be like your only producer of a product, like what you're getting?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that they actually refine in this area. I think they they refine elsewhere.
Okay.
Dickinson Refinery, nothing coming from that?
I can't think of any refineries in this. Jonathan, do you know of any refineries in this area?
Is it oil refinery?
But they're making products. They're making lubrication. They're making gasoline. They're making...
Okay. And it's a byproduct from that process?
It's actually used in the process. It's a catalyst, so it gives energy to the conversion.
Okay.
But eventually what happens is it breaks down and it becomes inefficient, so it may have poisons in it, tin, things like that, mm-hmm. or they say it gets coked up. It's too dirty to actually mm-hmm. be efficient process. So they take that out, and then what we do is we sample the material, get it into a state where we can sample it to determine how much of the precious metal's in it so that we can pay the customer.
Okay.
And then is where we will blend it with other things and take it into our arc furnace. And we'll melt that into 500-pound billets. Those billets actually go up to New York to be refined, chemically refined. And that's where we get the pure metals, the palladium and platinum and rhenium.
Oh.
And those will go back to the catalyst manufacturer. They'll make new catalysts for the customer, and they'll put that back in their reactors. Oh. Hmm.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah. it is, but you try to say it quickly, and it's... But our biggest cost, obviously, are the labor and the sampling to get the proper amount of precious metal that we have to pay the customer, so we don't overpay them or underpay them. So
you're shipping your feedstock here, processing it, and then you're shipping your final product outside, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But there's a huge reduction in weight from what we bring in to what we send to New York. Mm-hmm. So it's over 10-to-1 reduction. But then we have the slags from that material, and that's just the fluxes that we use, they make a slag. It's like a borosilicate, like almost like a glass. That goes up to our Canadian facility, and it has very small amounts of precious metal left in it, and we do a mining technique to recover that.
Mm. Are you a chemical engineer?
I'm not. Business. Computer science and business. But I've been with Sabin for 32 years.
Okay.
So you're feeling, so this is an added cost, and then are you feeling wage and staffing pressure as well with?
Oh, yeah, in the Williston area. Yep, you're competing with the oil fields. And again, there's the boom and bust, so, you know,
the labor. Can I jump in and point out just a couple of points?
Yeah.
So we, you know, a lot of our business does come in from overseas. And we're facing increased competition from countries like Korea, and even the Russians are stepping into the market. So we're not only competing kind of domestically for domestic materials, but globally. In addition to that, we've had some of our other consumables go up dramatically in cost. What we do in our art furnaces is we use electrodes, which are made from graphite, from carbon. The cost of that consumable has gone up dramatically. In addition, we compete with a very different process where our competitor in California uses a hydrometallurgical process to extract the platinum from the spent reforming catalyst. And to the extent that our consumable costs, such as electric and electrodes, goes up in cost, we're far less likely and less able to compete against our competition. So we're very sensitive, both on a global and domestic level, to the cost of our process.
And how many employees do you guys have?
110 at the Williston facility.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of skills do they need? And, you know, are they highly skilled folks? Is it more assembly line
some
stuff?
Highly skilled folks. You know, the welders, the mechanics, the electricians, and then there's just manual labor. Some of the sampling people would get the training from us. They wouldn't get that, I mean, that wouldn't be training you'd get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The furnace operations, again, there's not a lot of that around, so you get the training on the job. And then pollution control, obviously, is a big part of our operations, but somewhat similar to HVAC in that sense, where they could get some of those skills elsewhere.
So the skilled labor, they're not specifically trained to, they can move around.
Right.
A welder can be welded.
Welder can be a welder, electrician can be an electrician. Yep.
Okay, so nothing that is so specific to your process that they would have to go.
The operators of the furnace would be specific to our operation.
And how many operators are there?
There's probably six.
Six, so the bulk of the employees are?
Yeah, shipping, receiving, administration.
Challenging to hold on to.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Jonathan, was that a comment from you or just some background noise?
Oh, that might have just been some background noise. I apologize.
Nothing more for me, I don't think.
Pat, did you have any other questions back there? Staff?
Good.
I saw you nod or...
Well...
Or didn't know which way you nodded.
So is the company committed to the 5-year contract? So apparently, does that tell me that the company is supportive of this?
Yeah, we're
wishing
of
it
this.
Didn't
we're
go
wishing
up,
it didn't
but
go
understanding.
Up and understand and that, and just saying that, you know, the kiln we commissioned and the arc furnace that we're looking at, we would definitely have to evaluate now where that goes. Where does that fit best? Does it fit best in New York or does it fit best in Williston?
I will just say in closing, outside of this rate, because my wife's family's from Williston, so I was familiar with the company being there, but had no idea what you do. And I don't know, some before this came up, I had looked you guys up one time, and your website is really good and interesting.
Oh, thank you.
You look at some and you can't tell, unless you're in that business, what it even is. But you have an interesting and good website. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Important part of Willow.
Is there any benefit to being here? Do you have any correlation to the oil industry at all, the oil and gas industry? Is there any benefit for your location, Williston, or really it's just because the kilns were there and you've bought it? And
the kiln was there, the Cheap Electric, and we had at the time it was a bust portion of the oil, so we had a lot of employees that they were available. I think we had, I don't know, do you remember, Jonathan, was it 600 for 80 jobs?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the news to announce the opening of the factory, and we had people lined up at the door looking for jobs back in 2000, 2001. Of course, everything changed with the oil boom, I guess, about 7 or 8 years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we've never had a layoff, and we've expanded. You know, we had the second furnace, we added the two kilns, we're looking at expanding the storage capacity, and then obviously the kiln and arc furnace. So we would like to stay there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We do have a lot of long-term employees, considering we've only been there 20 years. We've got some that have been there since we opened.
Yeah.
And so we'd like to
stay.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
I was just saying that, and I think we worked very well with MDU in terms of balancing our load, and we have a very steady load profile. I think MDU could speak better to that, but we've been working very closely hand-in-hand with MDU to help them out as needed, and certainly we operate far better than our predecessors, Dakota Catalyst. They had their share of problems, and I think they caused brownouts in Williston back in the day in the 90s.
They talk about the first time we started ours up, and there were representatives from MDU, representatives from Williston, and basically it was a non-event, and everybody said, wow, that was a non-event, but the guys before us would actually just throw an arc across it and short it. And you could see the power dim in the whole town when they started it, so it was quite a different process.
Wow.
You know, we had some engineers come in and show us how to run it properly.
Jeez.
These arc furnaces are big units. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's the, you know, they're close to 2 megawatts a piece. I mean.
Jeez.
Are they soft start?
We do a soft start.
They do a soft start now. Previously, I don't think that
was. No.
Oh, so hence the brownouts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
It was not good.
Compared to
actually, I think the transformers are each rated to 6 megawatts, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And I think we operate sub 2.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like a good business, lots of jobs in a different industry. So it's something that, you know, the state certainly wants to see you guys stay here and keep investing here. And so,
yeah,
to the extent
like to
that
be successful here.
Yep. We can be sensitive to that. We will be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And outside of this, I'll just say, if you're not aware, but I'm confident that you are, we have a great new commerce commissioner. I really want to see that kiln come to Williston. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything from anyone else at this point? Then the handout and the audio recording of this proceeding will now be considered evidence. Are there any objections to this evidence becoming a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made?
No objections from staff.
No objections.
Okay, and sensing there is nothing else anyone would like to add, the evidence as presented will now become a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.